to Ashman again. Ashman, a hand pass to Galt. This is another goal. Oh, you donkey! Wow, how about that? That was the worst and most pathetic effort I think I've ever seen by anybody whose team needed a goal.
Welcome to Useless AFL Stats. I'm your host, Mitchell Stevens, and today we've got Aaron and myself, no Liam, unfortunately. Our stats man is unavailable tonight, so we thought, let's just have a bit of a crazy night and have a bit of fun with Useless AFL Stats. So welcome, Aaron.
Cheers, Mitch. Probably won't be any actual stats tonight, but what a bit of banter, bit of frivolity. If we need a stat, maybe I'll just make one up, see how we go. But good to be back.
Yeah, it's good to be back on. But unfortunately, I don't think it's really good as our teams keep showing us that you know as a St Kilda fan, I'm used to being disappointed. As a Fremantle fan, is it similar?
Well, yeah, I've seen a lot of Freo supporters. I don't know if you call it an excuse, but they're trying to use Cam McCarthy's unfortunate passing as a reason why the Dockers didn't play so well. I actually thought they actually played all right. They just couldn't put the ball through the two big poles. That's sort of the aim of the game. Whereas Sydney were able to do that quite effectively, which was obviously the difference in the teams. And the old expected score, we know Liam loves that, and so I know at least Simon Goodwin loves it, but Freo were actually in front at three-quarter time, and despite being about 50 points behind, I think they were, and unexpected score. But just wasn't their night. Things didn't sort of go to plan, but we played the top team, so, you know, we didn't expect the win, really, I don't think. Yes. But I don't know what happened to your Saints, mate. You should have won too.
I think I'm kind of over talking about what's going on with the Saints, but anyways, what were your weekly round observations?
I was going to say Ross Lyon's press conference was really weird. He seemed like just someone had just come off the street, and they were like, "So what happened?" And he was like, "They didn't do what I wanted," and it was all really weird. You know, what was the game plan? I don't know. Didn't really happen for us. It was one of the more weirder Ross Lyon ones, but that wasn't really my observation. I just really liked all the numbers stuff that happened this round, like the 110 that Freo kicked, 16 versus the 10-1, 61, which is effectively, even though we've posted 20 other scores, the only possible score that can complete that sort of inverse, not only goals and behinds, but total score, which is rather unique. Pretty sure that's probably never happened before, although we can't confirm because we don't have full-time stamps. But someone also managed to capture the time clock being at 14:41, which added sort of that extra dimension. Yeah. So it was pretty cool. But there were a few other number intricacies with the scores, which we'll probably talk about a bit later.
Yeah. Now, I think I've probably did this to death last time, but guess what? There's a new Geelong player with a headband. Jai Clark. Jai Clark. He was running around with one on the weekend. And so, geez, they just keep going and Who's next? I wonder. Mm-hmm. I reckon Brad Close. He's gonna need to put his hair back a bit soon. It is growing out. It's growing out. So get ready for the next Geelong player to have a headband.
Maybe Dangerfield can come back with one after he gets his hamstring.
Yeah, we'll see. All right. Well, Della, get us into some of the weekly awards.
Sure. Well, we don't have any moon predictions this week, unfortunately. Our man from the US, Bill, has gone down with a back injury. So he's been laid low. He's on some of the most powerful drugs in the world, apparently, resting up. So we can't compare what the moon would have done over the last few weeks. Maybe we can retrospectively get that back up because the moon doesn't lie, so there's no way they'll be fabricated at all. But I saw some of Nathan Brown's Maldies, and they were as shithouse as always, so there wouldn't be much to beat in that regard. But the one award I am really following now, and it's coming down to the wire, is the Lewis Jetta.
Mm.
And that, of course, goes to the person who can kick a behind every round for the longest time into the season. And normally the Jetta sort of wraps up around round 7, 8, 9. Sometimes it gets out to round 10, which it has this year because we still have the mighty Joe Danaher burned all his teammates and has pot shots from 60. He managed to kick another behind. Couldn't win Brisbane the game. But he's still kicking along nicely and doesn't look in any danger of not registering a behind with his wayward accuracy. And we also have Tom Papley, who, the way Sydney were going, I didn't think they were going to kick any behinds. But he managed to bob up with two in the last quarter, I think they were. So he's also still in the running. So they've both made it through 9 rounds. We recently had Brody Majacek eliminated thanks to an injury, and the same with Jake Waterman, although he kicked 4-0 in the game. He got injured, so he was. They were our podium placings, but I don't know. I think I slightly favour Joe Danaher, but Tom Papley's acquitting himself well. It's like the David and Goliath battle here for the Jet.
Tom
Have
Paprika.
You got any leaning?
I probably would go Joe. He's won it before, and he knows how to win these awards. So I think he's a shoo-in. But it would be nice to see a new one in Tom Papley to get in there and win a great award. I think this is it shows that you're consistent, and yeah, it would be great for Tom Papley to do that.
Well, if he does, if one of them does get eliminated and the other one's still kicking on, they can go for, in the last 10 years, we've had Jeremy Cameron go 12 rounds and kick 29 behind. So that could be something to aim at, even when we're down to our single winner.
Yep.
Now, of course, our other award is the Brownlow Medal, the Robert Dipietta Medico Brownlow Medal. Awarded to the best player for the year with a moustache. And we have been doing community voting, but I've decided to scrap that. Oh, I think we've had a bit of a lack of interest in recent weeks. So I've got a secret formula, which I'm not going to reveal, but it is an independent method, so to speak. So using the independent method this week, the 5 votes went to Jason, the horny one, Francis, with his great game against Geelong.
That was some of the worst commentating I've ever heard. The horny one, jeez.
Percy, didn't he change it to the horn or something this week? But anyway, let's hope BT keeps calling his games. See if he can mix it up. 4 votes to Joanne Newcomb, the Hawthorn maestro, midfield, ball gatherer. He had a great game defeating your Saints, unfortunately, but outstanding. He wasn't very fantasy-friendly for a lot of people early in the season, but he's really hitting his straps now. 3 votes to Nick Martin, rocking the sort of mini Hitler, little tiny Mo. He was sublime against West Coast. No one's ever thought to tag that guy, and he's just racking up week after week, which is interesting. 2 votes to Sam Ned Flanders up at the greasy conditions of Darwin. He still managed to get the ball on a string.
Stupid, sexy Flanders.
Yeah, him. He's great. He's got a few helping him too now with Alex Sexton coming back. So you got Sexy and Sex there. It's a real dynamic duo. And 1 to way back to the first game of the round to Alex Neil Bullen, who did a good job for Melbourne. I just about had a heart attack in that game because I tipped Carlton and I thought it was all over, but They hung on just Carlton, but one vote to Neil Bullen. So wrapping up our leaderboard, we've actually got Jake Lever on top. He picked up 5 votes last week, so he's up to 12. Matt Rowell's on 10, although I think he's lost his moustache. I'll have to do an identification check on his top lip to see if it's still there or not. Joy Newcomb's joined him on 10. Horn Francis now moves to 8. Nick Martin or Luke Jackson, not. Noah Anderson and Tom Liberatore on 7, and Stupid Sexy Flanders on 6. And then a whole heap of others with 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, which I won't mention.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, well, thank you for doing the awards. Now, I'm going to do something new. We don't have Liam on the podcast today, so we had to come up with some different strategies for this podcast, and we like to put out, all-star teams. Last year was, I think, the good old, BAC all-star team, the highest breathalyzer one. I think that was probably our best post for the year. But recently we've been doing fruit, vegetable, and we've done a herb and spices team. Now I've put together a meat all-stars team, things that you can eat. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to say the player's name. And, Aaron, I want you to try to guess what the name is and what the animal is. All right?
Sure.
Got it? All right. Well, we'll start in the fullback area. We've got Isaac Quainer.
Jeez. Isaac Quainer, it's got to be something to do with the Quainer. I'm already failing, which is not good.
Yeah.
You better hit me, Mitch.
All right, Isaac Quailner.
Oh,
all right. Quail. Got the quail.
Jeez, that's a delicacy.
Yeah. All right. Isava Ratatouille, however you say his name.
Ratatouille. Is that a mate? Is it?
Ratatouille. There you go.
Do you know how to say his name? An easy way to say it.
How do you say it?
It's radical ear. You say radical ear and just
radical ear. There you go. Ratatouille. But it's just the rat. All right. Josh Battle.
Josh Cattle.
Yep. Bailey Dale.
Oh, Bailey Dale. Bailey. This could be something with ale. Oh, you've got me on that one.
Bailey Snail.
Oh, snail. Bloody French.
Another delicacy in France, maybe. Jarman Impey.
Jarman Shrimpy.
Yes. Liam Baker.
Liam Bacon.
Yep. Josh Kelly.
Josh Kelly.
This is a bit out there.
Is it?
What's his nickname in AFL fantasy?
Jelly.
Yep. So we've got Josh Jelly Fish. There you go.
Jellyfish.
Yeah.
I was thinking of pig's trotters.
All right. Ollie Wines.
Ollie Bryans.
No. Ollie Swines.
Swines. Close.
There you go. Adam Treloar.
Treloar. No, what's that one?
Adam Treboar. some of these are
not
terrible.
Matt Treboar.
Boar. What about Jordan Dugowie?
Jordan Dugowie.
Yes. Jake Stringer. Jake Stringer.
I'm thinking of sausages, but I don't think that's right.
No. Snake Stringer.
Oh, snake.
First name there. Patrick Lapinski.
Patrick Lapinski.
This is a weird one.
No.
Patrick Lapinskin.
Pigskin. Right. They use that for the sausage, do you?
Yep. Sam Pell Pepper.
Now, the easy one for this would be ham bell pepper, but I don't think you go for the easy one, so I'm going to go for spam bell pepper.
Correct. All right, yes. Nick Larky.
Oh, Super Larky. That's my favourite.
Ooh, that's a good one. I've got Nick Sharky.
Oh, yeah, Sharky.
Yeah. Jacob Van Ruin.
Good. Jacob, oh, Van Roo. Just the Roo? Or is that Rashida?
Well, yeah, close. Jacob Kanga Ruin.
Oh, yeah, Kanga Ruin. Yes.
All right, we've got the followers now. Rory Lobb.
Rory Lobster.
Yep. Lockie Neal.
Oh, Lockie Neal.
This is an easy one. That just rhymes. Lockie Neal.
Lockie Veal.
Yes. Darcy Parrish.
Oh, Parrish. Darcy Parrish. No, you've got me on that one.
I've got Darcy Garfish.
Garfish.
All right, bit weird.
You like your seafood by the sounds of this.
I do like my seafood. Jackson Mead.
Jackson Mead.
Steed. Jackson Steed.
You're going to eat a horse.
Yep, you can. Depends what country, obviously. Latham Vandermeer.
Latham. I was going to say venison, but that probably is not even close.
Yes, but not that word.
Reindeer.
Latham Vanderdeer.
Vanderdeer.
All right. Matt Tavenaar.
Matt Krabenaar.
Yes. Devon Robertson.
Devon.
Just his name. Yep. He hasn't changed. And Jesse Motlop.
Oh, Jesse Motlop.
I like my... No. My seafood.
Oh, another seafood one.
Where just think lop. Done? Lop.
Lop. No.
Scallop.
Scummy.
Scallop.
Scallop.
Just see scallop. All right, well, and
not bad.
To finish, you have to guess who the coach is. I think it's Horse Longmire, that's correct. All right. The other one I was thinking of is Dennis Pagan. Can you think of why I would put Dennis Pagan in?
Pagan's paddock.
Yes, Pagan's paddock. Unfortunately, a lot of this is seafood, so I don't know how well it would go in the paddock. But, yes, Horse Longmire is the coach. All right. I think that's the first time and maybe the last time we'll ever do that. But... that is the Meet All Stars, in which we'll put on Facebook at some stage. Maybe you can veto some of these terrible ones.
Yeah, I might have to. some of my own, like Toby Shank Hervis.
Yeah.
And Jaden Shortrib.
There we go. There we go. All right. I'll send over that to you. All right. Well, you wanted to talk about a few other things from the round.
Yeah, so apart from that Frio-Sydney game where that 10-1-61 to 110-16 happened, there was also the Western Bulldogs versus Richmond game, which quite a few people dropped us a message, not quite as many as that wanted to talk about Essendon's low percentage being in third place, but that's a completely different subject. So that game finished 19-19 to 6-6. So same goals and behinds for both teams, which is fairly rare. It has happened probably 50-plus times over the years. And that was what we commonly refer to as a scorigami. So 133 to 42, 19-19, 133, 6-6, 42. That has never occurred before, and therefore that double score has never occurred before the 91-point margin. There has been one bigger double score game or margin, and that was on the 26th of April, 1992, Geelong 25-25-175 beat Fitzroy 11-11-77 down at Cardinia Park. And then there's been a whole heap of other ones. That combined 35, no, sorry, 36, 36 is the highest combined one. We've also had a combined 35 score, which was 20-20-140 by Hawthorne against Collingwood's 15-15-105 way back on the 21st of August 1971. So they were a couple of high ones. We've had some really low ones as well, like in 1900 we had Carlton 7-7-49 to St Kilda 4-4-28. You're unfortunately on the end of a 21-point loss, and we've had a whole heap of draws. We've had 2-14-14s and 11-11 and 9-9 and a couple of 1-2-3-8-8s in there as well. But I wanted to the highest score that sort of nearly happened, which was a really interesting one, was in 2011 at Football Park, where Collingwood played Port Adelaide, and with 11 minutes into the last quarter, the score was Port Adelaide 3-3-21 to Collingwood 18-18-126, and Collingwood had the next 8 scoring shots. So in theory, they could have ended 22-22 to 3-3, which would have been absolutely awesome, but instead they ended 23-21, which was just off. So a bit disappointing, but there's some great names that played in that that game. In the in the last quarter, Steele Sidebottom and Scott Pendlebury both kicked a goal. And remember, this is like 13 years ago.
Yep.
Along with Dane Beams, Alex Fasolo, Luke Ball and Jared Blair. But for Port Adelaide, who kicked 3 goals, one player kicked 2 goals, and I reckon you may not have ever heard of him. And his first name was Mitchell, and his last name was Banner.
Mitchell Banner.
Port Adelaide.
There you go. He, no, never heard of him.
He only played 19 games for Port. He wasn't a tall player either. He kicked 16 goals, 10.
Related to Eric? Career.
Eric Banner. No, I don't know. But I'm not sure whatever happened to Mitchell Banner and why he didn't kick on at Port, but sadly for him, he didn't. I'm just having a look at his Wikipedia now. So he was recruited from the Western Jets, and he was delisted in 2012, and he didn't really do much after that, according to Wikipedia. He went to South Fremantle in the Waffle, where he kicked the most goals for them in the season. Then he went back to Victoria. He played in their premiership win for Williamstown over Box Hill. He won the fairest and best, but he still couldn't get back to AFL. And he was playing for Darley in 2016, and then he sort of drops off. His history is all gone. So shout out to Mitchell Banner if he's listening, or anyone that knows him is listens in. He had his little claim to fame on that night. Well, I think it was a night in 2011 where he kicked 2 of Port's 3 goals.
Another,
so there you go.
Another famous year that Collingwood choked that year.
Yes.
All right. So I think we've had a thousand different messages about Essendon being third. Do you want to clarify anything?
Well, so everyone was asking, you know, is it the lowest percentage for a third place team? Technically, the answer is no, because in 1916, the third place team after round 9 was, in fact, Richmond, who had 3 wins and a percentage of 83.8. But there is a bit of an asterisk given that there were only 4 teams in the comp. So, of course, a lot easier to have a lower percentage with only 83.8. And, of course, 1916 is the very famous AFL season, mainly because Fitzroy finished last and then they won the premiership because they had a top 4. It sort of feels like now with 18 teams and a top 8, they were talking about maybe going to a top 10 with 20 teams. Sort of some ordinary teams could make the finals. But that to get to the finals with 2 wins and a draw, and then win it. They actually won more games in the finals than they did for the regular season because they won three.
Wow.
They had to beat Carlton twice because of I'm not sure what you call it. It was the Argus system, and if the top team lost in the prelim, they got to have a replay in the grand final. But if the top team won the prelim, then they were given the flag. So
yeah.
It was an interesting system. If you finished top, you really should have won the flag. But Carlton didn't that year. So there's still 16 premierships equal with Essendon and Collingwood. And now that Essendon, Collingwood and Carlton are all up and about, it could be there's a big charge for who will get the 17th flag. But I'm hoping Sydney or GWS really stuff it up and make that continue for a bit longer.
Yeah. Let's hope so, yes. because as St Kilda and Fremantle fans, we don't want to see anybody going further than us. Though, would a Fremantle supporter want GWS to win a premiership before Fremantle do?
Well, I'd rather GWS win one than West Coast or Carlton Collingwood, I suppose.
There you go. Well, West Coast has already won about four of them, so bad luck.
The next one.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Aaron, for joining me on this somewhat different podcast. We didn't have Liam to do all our useless stats today, but hopefully if you've learned anything, hopefully it's useless enough to tell your mates. Make sure you keep following our Facebook page for all our posts and content, and make sure you subscribe to the podcast and give us a like and a rating. We'd love that. All right, have a great week. Catch you next week.
See you.